No, thank you. We're honored to be here, and we always have a great deal of pleasure speaking to an RSI group. We know what you're feeling and what this is all about, and we're trying to help and trying to find out more about what's going on. Lisa and I just finished a two-day conference here for occupational therapists and physical therapists, and we got pretty thorough in terms of getting into the pathophysiology, what causes RSI, and I'll run down some of the new findings. I myself just finished a research paper, which is being considered for publication on 485 of my most recent patients, and I'll give you a rundown on what I found in those people, which is, to my way of thinking, somewhat surprising. Some of the findings are somewhat surprising. But there are some new things happening, and I'll try to update you on that. And also, I'm going to have Lisa, who I think is probably the best therapist going in terms of repetitive strain injury. That's her specialty, to also say a few words. I think after 2 days of working with some very enthusiastic people, we actually had a waiting list, and we had five people at least on the waiting list, right, Laura? And we had 62 people attending the conference. So I think that there are some people here now in the area who might be able to give you that little bit of extra help that might help some of you get over the hump with this situation. We'll also leave some time for questions and answers. We'll be very happy to do that. But let me start by saying that you probably are all very informed about what cumulative trauma is, and you know how many different names that apply to cumulative trauma, starting with occupational overuse syndrome, OOS, in Australia and New Zealand, and where they eliminated the term repetitive stress injury because that was a way of handling it as a public health problem. We just wipe it out and call it OOS, and that solved the big problem. Then we have the term RSI here that's still used. We have cervical brachial disorder in Japan and some of the Asian countries. We have the term used by NIOSH and OSHA, which I think is somewhat of a misnomer, but it's MSDs, musculoskeletal disorders. And then in terms of the repetitive strain population, office workers and so forth, it's upper extremity, UEMSDs, upper extremity. So there are a whole host of appellations of terms used to describe this, and there's a book that Subrana, nurse that I know, wrote, and she says it's not just carpal tunnel syndrome, and that's absolutely true. In this group of patients that I saw, 485 of them, I found about 8% had clinically diagnosed carpal tunnel syndrome. So as a result, I think there's a lot of polemicizing about this diagnosis, but it really shouldn't be used as a synonym for repetitive strain injury or cumulative trauma disorder or whatever you want to call it. Now, the other caveat here is that whenever you have something like this in medicine that has a million names, beware, because there's a lot of confusion and nobody seems to know what is actually going on. And the problem is that not only is the cause a difficult situation to ascertain, but the treatment really is a team approach treatment. That's the only way that things are really going to succeed. Actually, it probably is a good idea to make a distinction between occupational illness, which this is in a sense, but it's not a true occupational illness that we define in the textbooks, which means that if you have asbestos floating in the air and you take it away, you've solved the problem. Here we have what's called a work-related problem, and as a result, we have multiple causes multiple effect. And I like to call this, in a sense, based on what I've found, it's really a neuromuscular, it's upper extremity neuromuscular problem. It's complex, and it seems to manifest itself differently in each person, depending upon the nuances of movement that each individual goes through.